Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, a show that shares life lessons because we're broke in funds but rich in life. And today is a very fun and exciting episode. We're going to cover how to make friends as an adult, break up with a toxic friend, and discuss the importance of finding your platonic soulmate.
Mm-hmm. But this also kind of has something to do with our product recommendation. We wrote a book! Oh my God. So if you couldn't decipher what the hell that was, we wrote a book. Holy moly. Dream, bucket list, ticked, done, check. Go to print.
Honestly, actually, go to print.
Go to print. This is actually the wildest podcast recording we've ever recorded. This is like the biggest milestone ever.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote a book, and Sal, do you want to tell us what it's called?
Yep, it's called Finding Your People, The Ultimate Guide to Friendship by Sally McMullen and Alex Hurrigan. That's us.
Me. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us.
Not me.
Who would have thought? Not me. So we'll give you a little spiel on the book, and then through this episode, we're going to give you tips and tricks on how to find your people in your 20s, but also why this book is going to be, you know, the ultimate guide to finding your people, with some little sneak peeks and teasers. So, a little bit about the book. Despite living in a world where instant communication is at our fingertips, it sometimes feels harder than ever to make meaningful connections. There's an overwhelming focus on romantic partners, but frankly, we're sick of platonic relationships missing out on the hype.
Yeah.
And another thing.
So we wrote this book for the people trying to find friendship as an adult, for the people who need to break up with the toxic friend or friendship group but can't, for the people who are seeking their platonic soulmate but just haven't found them yet. Oh, should we say it together?
Okay, ready?
3, 2, 1.
This book was written to be your new best friend. We kind of sound like the twins from The Shining when we speak like that, don't you think?
Are we not?
It's giving that.
That's the vibe.
This book was written to be your new best friend. I'll be your new best friend.
We get that energy anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So it is available to pre-order now and will be available from the 4th of June. So in this episode, we're going to give you an overview of what it means to find your people, also with some sneak peek and snippets. So let's get into it right away, right now.
A little BTS just for our chicks. Okay, first topic of business.
Oh, this one's so commonly asked.
Oh my God, I swear we get a DM about this every other day, and it's making friends as an adult. So this is definitely the most common question that we get asked in our DMs, and we haven't necessarily been giving all of the juicy details on exactly how to do that because we've been busy writing this book exactly on how to do it. Because making friends as an adult in your 20s or really at any age can be really, really hard and feel really isolating.
And I think the key to making friends as an adult is realizing not everyone wants to be your friend. And it's a really tough pill to swallow. But once you realize that, you're going to make the journey so much easier.
Yeah, that's so true. It is. It is a tough pill. But
yeah, so true. We wrote that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Wow, how much you write a book?
Literally us reading back the entire book. So in the book, we discuss a theory that really perfectly communicates what it's like making friends in adulthood. And of course, it's a reference to the iconic monologue from Miranda in Sex and the City, which you may have heard of, which is called the Cablite Theory. So we'll read you a little snippet of the book to give you an idea of what this theory is and how it relates to making friends.
Okay. Entering my Audible era and action. Miranda discusses this theory in relation to heterosexual dating, but in our opinion, it applies to all relationships, friendships included. In a nutshell, Cablite theory states that when someone is available for a relationship, they turn their Cablite on. When they don't want a relationship, their Cablite is off. She goes on to explain that the day they decide to turn their Cablite on, read, emotional availability indicator, is when they decide they're ready to settle down and the next girl they meet will become the one out of sheer dumb luck. Obviously, that last part is kind of bullshit, but we do think there is an element of truth to this theory. Not everyone is emotionally available at all times. Some people already have a full cab and don't have capacity to act on the arm you've stretched out to hail your next great platonic love. So even when you may be ready for a new friendship, that doesn't mean everyone you meet is. Every individual's priorities ebb and flow as life goes on, meaning that making new connections might not be the top of their to-do list. If someone doesn't want to be your friend, it often has nothing to do with you. You're not annoying or a crappy human who smells bad, like the voice in your head tells you. Their cab light might simply be off. Once you start approaching making new friends as an adult with this theory in mind, the idea of putting yourself out there becomes less scary and the fear of rejection greatly lessens. The fact that another person isn't picking up what you're putting down won't keep you up till 3 a.m. wondering if you had something in your teeth. It also means you can focus on the people who have their cab light on, their door open, or whatever metaphorical terminology you want to use that means they're open to new friendships too. Finding these people is the key to finding your people.
That was beautiful, Al.
Thank you. Thank you.
But finding friends and making new friends as an adult is so hard, but it's definitely not impossible.
Mm.
I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's too late for me. Like, you know, I've made all these friends in high school and, you know, those friendships have sort of petered off. I guess I'll just be a bit of a lone wolf now. In my 20s and in my adulthood, and that's definitely not the case. Like, you made so many of your best friends.
All my best friends are people that I met as an adult and, like, in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
And, like, that doesn't also mean that my friendships previous to that don't exist anymore either. Like, I'm still best friends with my best friend, like, the one best friend I had in high school.
Yeah.
But, like, her and I are still so close, and so new friendships don't take away from old friendships. And I think sometimes we think we have to lose friendships to make new friendships. And that's not necessarily the case. There are times that we do need to let go of friendships, which we will talk about a bit later. But I think sometimes we're maybe hesitant to make new friends because it means we have to cut people off, which I don't think is the case. I think there's only so much you can juggle. I don't think you can have like 20 best friends
because
that's just exhausting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I made all of my best friends as an adult, including Sal.
Yeah, so true. Yeah. You were 21 when we met, I think.
21. Can you do something for me? Yeah. Look.
And you did.
It was great. I feel like when you're an adult as well, you understand yourself so much more. You understand your values, what you like doing, what your hobbies are, and you're not necessarily trying to mold yourself to fit into what's available in high school.
Mm.
Because that is what I did a lot, and I think what a lot of people did is, you know, in high school it's like the fucking animal kingdom.
Yeah.
And so you kind of will mold yourself to fit in, whereas when you become an adult, the world's your oyster, baby. Like, you can do and be anyone you want to be. Is this a TED Talk? Maybe.
I'm feeling so inspired. Yeah, so you don't have to make friends out of forced proximity like you do when you're in high school, which is really nice and really freeing if you look at it that way.
Mm. So that's one little tidbit on how to make friends as an adult. But we do go into, you know, the two reasons why it's really hard and how you need to work on those two things in order to make friendships, and also where to meet people and how to foster those friendships.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we did mention letting go of friendships. And there is a whole chapter dedicated to toxic friendships and how they keep you from finding your people, because this is a big one. This was also kind of difficult to write a bit. I think it forced us to become very like open and honest about things that had not necessarily like hurt us, but maybe also moments that we were the toxic friend.
Exactly.
And having the ability to kind of look at yourself and be like, is my behavior that I would expect from a friend?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sometimes you're also the toxic friend to yourself.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
So in order to find your people, you may need to let some go. In the book, we discuss how many quality friendships it's actually possible to keep, and if you're giving your energy to ones that don't deserve it, you don't actually have enough energy for the people that are meant for you.
Mm-hmm. So you may be wondering, do I have some toxic friends, or have I been the toxic friend in the past? So we're going to share some red flags of a toxic friend. the signs of a toxic friend aren't always super obvious. Like, it isn't always like a Regina George.
It's like you've got rose-colored glasses on sometimes with toxic friends, and it's only once you're out of the friendship or maybe someone points it out to you that you start realizing, like, wait, friendship's not supposed to be like this.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you have like low self-esteem or anything as well, it can be really hard to see that you're perhaps being mistreated. And some of these signs aren't always super obvious, so you may not notice them in the beginning of a friendship. They might make themselves obvious as the friendship goes on. Or it could be something that in the case of like a long-term friendship that you're like, oh, but that's just how she is.
Yeah, like, she just can be like that, or he can just be like that, or yeah, they just get annoyed like that sometimes and you're like, meh.
Yeah, exactly. So in that case, toxic friendships can sometimes fly under the radar and you may not even notice that they're holding you back from making the true friendships that you deserve.
Mm. Yeah, I think the flying under the radar thing is really, really common because like a few examples, like maybe they put you down but it's disguised as telling you what clothes are flattering on you, or maybe the friendship feels like a competition of like who's doing better in their career or whose bad day was worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or potentially it's the fact that every time you see them, you leave feeling tired and drained when really you should be having lots of fun and feel energized by your friendships. But maybe it's also not.
Yeah, yeah. And it can be really difficult to know when to let go of these friendships or when you should invest the time and emotions and capacity that it takes to revive these friendships, because it is hard work and sometimes it is worth it, but sometimes it's not.
Nah. And I think understanding, because I feel like we feel bad about cutting off a friendship that doesn't serve us. Like when I was talking to people while we were working on this, and it was so wild how many people that, oh, I've got a friend like that.
Yeah.
Like everyone that I spoke to when like we were doing the research for this were like, yeah, I've got a friend like that. And I was like, why don't you just cut it off? And they're like, because I can't. Like I just, and it's so, so difficult to do so. It's a full-on friendship breakup, and those are just so misunderstood. Like, it's important to note, though, that fighting with friends is normal. Like, when a friendship is long enough, when you're super close with someone, conflict will arise, and it's being able to navigate those moments and, like, work your way through them without things getting nasty and personal and leading with, like, empathy and understanding. We do discuss how to like navigate the bumps in the road and normalize conflict within friendship, but there is definitely a line.
Yeah. And like you were saying, it can be really scary to cut off a friendship because friendship breakups are really hard. They're sometimes even harder than a romantic breakup, but they can really be necessary. And here's a part from the book that tells you why.
Sal enters her audible era and action.
Channeling like my Stephen Fry in Harry Potter. I'll do
you
like
just
voices.
Just sounding like Mufasa.
Oh.
At the end of the day.
I'd love that. At the end of the day, a friendship breakup is hard. Sometimes it can be even harder than a romantic breakup. We know from experience. When we enter romantic relationships, we don't go on a first date thinking we've met our forever person. Check, please. We go in with the underlying expectation that things may not work out in the long run. But we expect friendships to be around forever, because why wouldn't they? When we do lose a friend, it can be a shock. We not only feel the loss of past experiences, but future moments we thought we'd share together. Friendship breakups, in our opinion, are completely underrated in terms of how deeply they can wound you. The heartache can leave you feeling betrayed, embarrassed, and bitter, and it's more common than you think. If you have decided to leave a friendship in the past, there are a few things to remember. And then later in the chapter, we continue. It can be incredibly heart-wrenching to say goodbye to a person who felt like home. But when it's time, you do have to let them go. If you hold on too tightly and fight it, you're filling up space inside your soul that is meant for your future people. You're wasting your love, energy, and friendship on people who can no longer receive it rather than those who deserve it. And you may not even know those people yet. If you're holding on to something that's weighing you down, you're not allowing yourself to be free to find new people. Things end for no reason or big reasons, but there is still an end. Find closure in the fact that you have to close chapters to finish your own book of life. We give you the green light to choose your friends wisely. Know your own value and the worth of your friendship. Nourishing and prioritizing healthy friendships can only lead to living a fulfilled life.
Slay.
Slay.
Our, like, reading voices are so different to our talking voices. We sound so, like, distinguished.
It's giving, like, phone voice. Like, you know when you're calling
customer
up.
Customer service voice?
Yeah, customer service. Or, like, when you're calling to make a dentist appointment. Yeah. You're like, hi, can I please just get my checkup for 3:30?
I make all of those on an app now. I don't think there's a single thing that I call to make an appointment for now. Hair, doctors, dentist, all of it.
This is good practice then.
Yeah.
Get your voice working.
No, I don't want to call.
No, I just mean
I
mean
on my app.
I mean in general.
Oh, yes, because I don't talk enough.
Yeah, you're timid, you know, quiet
I
little girl.
I definitely need to practice talking more. So throughout the chapters, there's 10 in total that we go through kind of the whole pathway of what friendships are, what they mean, being your own best friend, but with the end goal potentially for you or maybe for someone else is about finding your platonic soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Because in our opinion, finding your people is finding your platonic soulmates. And the term soulmate is one we often say for romantic relationships. However, we are very firm believers that soulmates can apply to friendships and platonic love too.
Yeah, and there is a lot of confusion about what exactly makes a platonic soulmate. For example, you may be familiar with the quote, a friendship is a reason, a season, or a lifetime. We know a lot of you chicks relate to this quote. And this is something that we do also discuss at length in the book, but just because you're friends with someone for a lifetime, you may have been friends with someone since you were little kids, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're your platonic soulmate.
Mm.
And yeah, like you were saying, we do often reserve the term soulmate for romantic relationships, but this is an idea that we completely
debunk. It's gone.
Yeah, it's over. Which reads, the term soulmate is usually one we reserve for romantic relationships. It conjures up images of couples who finish each other's sentences, of white dresses and wedding rings, of cute old couples we see walking hand in hand that make us cry into our iced coffees on our way to work. You know, romance and all that jazz. However, we're firm believers that soulmates shouldn't be a label that's exclusive to romantic relationships. It applies to friendships too. So, what's the difference between romantic and platonic soulmates? Platonic soulmates are a very long-term, solid, trusting, and very satisfying relationship, states clinical psychologist Meredith Fullers. There are three things people want in a relationship. One, passion, which includes sex and lust. Two, intimacy. And three, commitment. It is the second two, intimacy and commitment, that a platonic soulmate offers us. A soulmate is someone who completes you. It's a person with whom you have an inexplicable, unshakable, and magical connection. When you think of it like that, it seems naive and almost wasteful to use that label only for romantic partners. Your soulmate is someone who seems to exist on the same wavelength as you. You know when you're in a group situation and you and your friend have a telepathic, in-depth conversation just in one glance? That's a soulmate connection. Or what about when you two aren't even together, but you can sense something is off? So you send them a text to check in only to hear that they're experiencing the worst day ever. That's some soulmate shit right there.
It's actually really interesting because we go into like what the definition of a soulmate is and where it originated from.
Mm.
So the term platonic soulmate actually derives from the Greek philosopher Plato. Plato wrote, according to Greek mythology, humans were originally created with four arms, four legs, and a head with two faces. Fearing their power, Zeus split them into two parts, condemning them to spend their lives in search of their other half. What's interesting is that Plato's definition of a soulmate isn't outwardly romantic. He continues to explain, and when one of them meets the other half, the actual half of himself, the pair are lost in an amazement of love and friendship and intimacy. Love, friendship, and intimacy occur with both romantic and platonic relationships. Intimacy is just another word for vulnerability. Romance features a fourth contributor, passion. In a romantic relationship, you typically expect and deserve passion, attraction, and sex, unless you're an asexual honey, and sometimes monogamous commitment. Platonic love takes the physical and sexual out of the equation, yet still promises closeness, acceptance, commitment, and proactiveness. So do not limit yourself by thinking love can only exist romantically. Love and connection with your platonic soulmate can inspire your mind, heart, and soul and inspire you towards a version of yourself that you're proud to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tearing up.
Cry.
Yeah, seriously.
So how do you find your platonic soulmate? You go to the show notes and you click the link to Booktopia and you pre-order their fantastic, fabulous, fantabulous novel, Finding Your People by Alexandra Hurrian and Sally McMullen.
It's that easy, it's that folks. Easy, folks.
No, actually. So it would mean the world if you chicks did pre-order this book. It's mm-hmm. been, what, like nearly 2 years?
Yeah.
In the making.
Yeah.
Which is wild, maybe like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really put all the blood, sweat, tears, and vulnerable stories into this book. And when you do pre-order a book, it really helps the author because it means that it shows that there's demand for it. So, like, stockists will purchase more units and it helps us out.
Mm-hmm.
So that would absolutely mean the world. And we just are so excited for you guys to have this. It was wild writing this book. Like, it was such a roller coaster of emotion.
Oh, my God, yes. Obviously, as journalists and as writers, like, writing a book has always been a dream of ours, and you know, we're big like book nerds anyway, so it's always been on the bucket list for us, but you know, seems like a kind of far off dream.
Yeah, but I was like, I'd love to, but it won't happen.
Yeah, like I was imagining ourselves like retired and maybe just writing like a novel
home.
Yeah, two broke biddies just like writing a book
two
together.
Broke memoirs.
Yeah, for ourselves. But you know, when this opportunity came up, we just couldn't believe it and were so excited. And as much as we wrote this to tick off that bucket list for ourselves, we also wrote it for you chicks because we had, you know, a lot of different topics that we could have covered in a book, but we decided to focus on friendship because we think that it really is like the most important relationships that you can have in your life. And we get so many DMs from you chicks on the weekly, on the daily, asking for advice on how to make new friends as an adult or how to break up with a toxic friend or how to deal with conflict. So we wrote this for you and we really, really hope that you love it.
Mm.
And thank you so much for your support as well.
Yeah, this
wouldn't
be
happening without you.
Yeah, like we would not have this opportunity if it was not for you chicks. So like y'all are our best friend just as much as each other. Like the friendships that we've made through, you know, this audience are just unparalleled. Whenever I see any of you out at a bar, it's just the best. Mm-hmm. I recently saw three chicks at a bar and none of them knew each other.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they
That's
were all
so cute.
We were in the bathroom and there was one chick wearing a pink hat and I was like, oh my God, did you go to Taylor Swift? I was so drunk, by the way. I vomited later that night. And she was like, no, but everyone's asking me that. And then someone else was like, oh, I thought you were going to Taylor Swift too. And then they're like, yeah, I thought you were going to Taylor Swift too.
As you would.
And then I was like, I'm going on Monday. I'm so excited. And they're like, how'd you get tickets? And I was like, oh my God, I didn't. Like a brand invited us. I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
Like being like, yeah, wild.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, what do you mean? And I was like, yeah, I have a podcast with my best friend. And they're like, what? And I was like, two broke chicks. And then everyone, we all just started screaming
oh,
with each other.
Cute.
And it was the best. And I was like, come outside, let me buy you a drink.
I love that.
And then I realized I didn't have the right card with me. So I didn't have enough money on the account. So then I had to go to my joint savings with my boyfriend.
That's worth
and it. And transfer myself enough to buy these chicks around. And I was like trying to like duck my phone.
That's so funny.
Because I was like, I'm buying these chicks a drink.
They deserve it.
Because yeah, I just have like 72 different cards because I'm like, that's how I'm like budgeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I like limited my amount so I didn't spend heaps on a night out.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm going to buy you a drink.
We need to have like a kitty fund just for buying drinks for the chicks. So yeah.
No regrets.
It's official announcement. If you pre-order the book, we'll buy your vodka and soda. It's a two broke chicks guarantee. TNCs, mate.
Yeah. I'm like,
just joking, just joking.
No, not going to lie. If we see you out in the wild,
We'll buy you a drink.
Oh, we will.
Any day. Any day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is a wrap on today's episode of Two Broke Chicks. We hope you loved it. If you know anyone that you think they would also enjoy this episode, feel free to chuck them a link or chuck it in the group chat.
And as always, thank you to MIK Made for making today's episode possible. And thanks to you, Chicks,
for all your support and friendship. And we love you.
Bye, Chicks.